Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being transformed by the preaching of the Word of God. And in the last episode, I began to walk us through the ministry of Jesus to once again see the emphasis on teaching. How that in the ministry of Jesus, teaching was the most prominent activity. Praise God. I mean, to be a disciple of Christ in those days meant you were learning and receiving His Word. Matthew 11, quickly. Hallelujah. Bible truths concerning the local church. Bible truths concerning the local church. Matthew 11, and right from verse 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Hallelujah. Learn from me. Glory to God. The way we found rest, the way we came into the knowledge of salvation, the way we received the most precious gift of all that Jesus has given to humanity was via teaching. Hallelujah. Teaching. At John chapter 10, Jesus makes it clear that eternal life is found in the message, in the word, in his teaching. John 10, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. John chapter 10, praise God. And I'll read from verse 1. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and all the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Hallelujah. So they will follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd has a voice that the sheep recognizes. The sheep at this point in time were his disciples, men following his ministry, learning his doctrine. Hallelujah. And then he goes to verse 28. Glory to God. He goes to verse 28. And he says, let me start from verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Verse 28, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father were one. So the end point of his of learning in his ministry was salvation. We receive the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Now that we are saved, we are also meant to continue in his teaching, so we can grow to maturity. Hallelujah. Or so we can go on to maturity. That's like tautology. So we can go on to maturity. We are to continue in the teaching. Teaching is the most prominent activity in the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. The signs and wonders, the miracles were done mostly in the environment of preaching and teaching God's word. And that's why it's such an abnormal desire to want to desire to see manifestations of spirit without having the passion to preach the gospel. I mean, what are you looking for? Mark 16, 15 to 16. Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. These signs will follow. Hallelujah. They will cast out demons, they will lay hands on the sick. They will recover if they drink anything deadly, to by no means hurt them. And if they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And then he goes to verse 20. How did these signs follow them that were original recipients of this instruction? Mark 16, look at verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He calls them accompanying signs. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And I said to you, all that Jesus did was a result of what he taught. The environment for the miraculous is the environment of the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. By this, I'm not saying you cannot heal the sick until you have, brought out your Bible to preach. Amen. But more frequently, we find in the Gospels that the signs and wonders were attendant to the preaching of God's word. The signs and the wonders and the manifestations and the healings that were happening in the ministry of Jesus most times happened in the ministry, you know, in the environment of the ministry of the word of God. They are accompanying signs. Glory to God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about. How did he go about? He went about all the synagogues, Galilee, Judea, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So as Jesus was preaching and teaching, the power of God accompanied the message. Luke chapter 5, verse 6, 17. Bible says how that there were, you know, teachers of the law, Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Bible says, therefore, let us give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels proved steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great the salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will? Glory to God. So, an obsession with signs and wonders, miracles, manifestations of the Spirit, without an obsession for preaching and teaching the word of God is abnormal. Amen. Because preaching and teaching is the core assignment. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and teach all the nations. Go into the world and make disciples of men. Preaching and teaching is the core assignment. I said to you, the reason why Jesus got busy with teaching and preaching is because when the Father bore witness to him, the instruction he gave to men is that they should hear him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hallelujah. That is the core assignment. I showed you how Jesus says, you know, I've come for this reason to preach. They came to him, everybody's looking for his Bible says, he said, let's go to the other town so I can preach, because for this purpose I have come. Hallelujah. And I began this teaching today by showing you that even the work of redemption, even the gift of eternal life was going to be received, was going to be enjoyed by, you know, through the teaching ministry. Amen. Jesus cannot impact eternal life to men outside teaching. Glory to God. That's how important, that's how sacrosanct, that's how grave the teaching ministry is. Men will not be saved without teaching. Men will not grow on to maturity or go on to maturity without teaching. Praise God. So teaching is the core. When I say teaching is the core, teaching is the most prominent activity. You must realize it is by teaching God does all that he intends to do on the face of the earth. Teaching. Praise God. Someone says, we don't need much of teaching. We just want the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth that leads into all truth. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost that you want without, you know, paying attention to God's word and Bible study is not the Holy Ghost of the Bible. The Holy Ghost of the Bible is that which inspired the scriptures. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, by the breath of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. So teaching is core. And you need to settle down to, you know, get busy with God's word. You need to settle down. You need to begin to appreciate the teaching ministry for what it is. Amen. As the most important aspect of the ministry. So seeing that Jesus emphatically taught and he magnified the teaching ministry, and he gave himself to the teaching ministry, and men saw him as a teacher in Israel. Glory to God. That was the only legacy. Amen. That was the legacy he left with the disciples. So when he told them, go into the world and make disciples of all men, they understood what he meant. He wanted them to get busy with teaching men God's word. Hallelujah. That's the legacy of ministry that Jesus left. Teaching. That's the legacy. So a local church, a sound and a healthy local church that discourages teaching, or does not emphasize teaching, or sees no reason for teaching, is not healthy and sound. Hallelujah. It doesn't make a difference if you like the pastor, you like the way he dresses, you like the way he appears on the pulpit, you like his elegance, you like his, you know, being poised, you like his tushness, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. It's a rhetorical prowess. You enjoy the way he speaks. Hallelujah. As he speaks, he sweeps you off your feet. It doesn't make a difference if it does not give attention to teaching, if it does not emphasize the teaching ministry and a need for Bible study, the local church is not a sound church. The local assembly pastors is not a sound or a healthy local church. He himself is not a sound minister of the gospel. Praise God. The only legacy Jesus left with them, like I said, is the legacy of teaching. Hallelujah. That's why when he rose again from the dead, he continued to teach. Luke 24, 25 to 46, he continued to teach. Acts of Apostles 1 to 3, he continued to teach. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, he continued to teach. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 1, 1 to 3 is another account of Luke 24. That teaching that Jesus started after his resurrection lasted for 40 days. He kept teaching. He kept teaching. There were no other activities. He taught till he was ascended. Amen. Or till he ascended. He taught. Bible says, till the day in which he was taken up into heaven. Glory to God. And then that was the legacy he gave to the apostles. He says to them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Now, what exactly did he mean by them being witnesses? They were going to be preachers and teachers of what they had seen and what they had received from him. They were going to bear witness to his resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at this quite carefully. We're going to bear witness to his resurrection. So, the Holy Ghost made witnesses out of the apostles. Teachers of the gospel. Men who are going to proclaim the truth about Jesus' death and resurrection. The Holy Ghost did not empower them to be anything apart from being witnesses of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. John 15. And I'll read from verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear with, because you have been with me from the beginning. Witness to what? Witness to the truth concerning his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Witness to what he has accomplished and he has done. Witness to the resurrection, to the work of redemption. He says, you also will be witness. Hallelujah. You also will bear witness. The Holy Ghost to testify. You also will bear witness. So, the Holy Ghost now came to make them witnesses. So, that means that which the Holy Ghost would testify and witness about Jesus, he empowered the apostles to do it. Glory to God. He empowered them to be witnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection. Witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why in the book of Acts, you find that the apostles were given to teaching. That was the core of the activity. Because that's what the Holy Ghost made them. Witnesses, teachers. Hallelujah. Men who took the truth of Christ to the world at large. Acts of Apostles 2:42. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Teaching was the most prominent activity in the ministry of the apostles too, because this is all that the Holy Ghost empowered them to become. Hallelujah. Witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon, and you shall become witnesses. I've not said the Holy Ghost didn't make them children of God, you know, get them born again. I'm talking about in ministry. The empowerment for ministry was that they'll be witnesses, teachers of God's word. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 4, 1 to 2. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, the same crime that Jesus was convicted for. They said he has filled, he has preached all through Judea to Galilee. He has preached all around the cities. They were angry and mad at him. they are going to accuse the apostles of the same. Look at Acts of Apostles 5:21. They were disturbed that they are taught in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Because that was what they were given to, teaching. Acts 5:21. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 5 and verse 21. Bible says, And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. And the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. They entered the temple and they began to teach. Verse 28. Look at this carefully. Verse 28. Bible says, let me start from verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Not you fill Jerusalem with your church stickers. Not you fill Jerusalem with borehole projects. You fill Jerusalem with, you know, charity, you know. No, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. I submit to you that if the apostles were doing charity work in Jerusalem, they wouldn't have been persecuted that much. That's if they will be persecuted at all. What offended the rulers of the people was the doctrine of Christ. That was what they filled Jerusalem with. Because teaching is the core and the most important element of discipleship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 5 verse 42. Look at this carefully. Acts 5:42. This was after they were warned. Praise God. They were warned to not preach again in the name of Jesus. Verse 40. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Daily. Hallelujah. Daily. In the temple and in every house, they did not cease preaching. So they had public teachings and they had house-to-house teachings. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26. We saw this earlier. Acts 11, 26. Glory to God. Acts 11, 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Teaching. Hallelujah. Acts 15, 35. Glory to God. That was the most prominent activity in the ministry of the apostles. And if you look at it very carefully also, you discover that it was in the environment of preaching, teaching most times that the miraculous broke out or broke loose upon the people. Amen. It was in the atmosphere or in the environment of teaching. Hallelujah. They saw signs and wonders as they taught. Glory to God. Don't disconnect the account of Acts of Apostles from Mark 16:20. When he says they went everywhere and God was confirming the word with the accompanying signs. That going everywhere is in the book of Acts. Amen. That is what we have, you know, detailed for us in the book of Acts. So the way the manifestations and the power and the accompanying signs followed their ministry was as a result of their preaching and teaching. Praise God. Acts 15, 35. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 15 and verse 35. Bible says, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also, preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. So that means in those days, if you were to walk into the environment of the church, what you see them doing regularly was teaching. That was the most prominent thing. And then you find them, you know, sing songs of praises. Bible says in Acts 2, verse 46, you know, they continue in the temple praising God. So you see them sing praises, minister to the Lord in songs, in praises and all that. Hebrews 13, 15, therefore by him let us continually offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So they will praise God. But then when it comes to what they were feeding the saints with, it was about preaching and teaching the gospel. Praise God. You enter the environment of the early church and you will see study. Devotion to God's word. Devotion to the scriptures. Because that is what Jesus told them to go and do. Make disciples. Amen. I responded to somebody recently on Facebook. I think it was today. And then, or yesterday rather. So the person said, a Christian is not a scholar. Neither is he a theologian. He's a spiritual agent. And, you know, praise God. It sounds funny because the word disciple means scholar. So if you say a Christian is not a scholar, what you are saying is that a Christian is not a disciple. The word disciple means a scholar, a pupil, a student. So we are students of Christ. We are students of the word. We are disciples of Christ. So disciples are to be seen learning. Disciples are to prioritize preaching and teaching of God's word. Disciples are to prioritize receiving the ministry of the word. Because that's what discipleship is about, learning. Glory to God. If you look at certain churches today, you almost cannot see learning. You can't see teaching. Amen. You see every other kind of activity. You see pastors getting worked up, looking for the new way or the latest way to get people's attention. There's a lot of compromise in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. All kinds of activities. Secular meetings, entrepreneurship trainings, business trainings, all kinds. You won't find emphasis on Bible study. Amen. You are not in a sound and healthy local church if your local church is not emphatic about Bible study. You are not being treated like a disciple of Jesus until you are being exposed to teaching. Amen. Teaching. The way we see it in the ministry of Christ and his apostles. That same pattern. Amen. Acts of Apostles 18, verse 9 to 11. Acts of Apostles 18, 9 to 11. I submit to you that the moment we go back to scriptures and we all see ourselves as disciples of Christ, it will change everything. It will change our activities in the church. It will change what we give attention to. Amen. It will change the way we treat the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. You know, there's a way people consider preaching or sermons. There's a way they think about, you know, that aspect of the meeting or the service, you know, as something we should just rush through it. Amen. Let's just quickly go through. Don't waste our time. So much disdain for the preaching and the teaching of God's word because they are not seeing themselves as students. Many folks go to church seeing themselves as, you know, just there to have fun. Amen. Jesus fun. Amen. Or spiritual fun. Holy Ghost fun. But if you see yourself as a disciple, somebody who is here to learn, then that will be the highlight of the meeting. That will be what you are looking forward to. Glory to God. That will be something you are expecting. You are looking forward to the time when there will be preaching and teaching from God's word. Hallelujah. Someone said, anytime I hear a pastor say, or someone say in the church, we are now approaching the most important part of the service, the preaching of God's word, she's going to carry her bag and leave. Amen. And I had to engage her. Praise God. I believe she was, you know, speaking from what she understood. But then I had to engage her. I said, see, it's actually the most important part. We're not trying to elevate the pastor or make him feel important. That is the most important part of the meeting. Amen. In songs to the Lord, we are speaking to the Lord and edifying ourselves. When we pray, we are praying to God. When we listen to God's word, God is speaking to us. Hallelujah. Yes, when we pray, we also hear God, but it's a different thing entirely when we study God's word. God is instructing our heart, he's showing us himself, he's revealing himself to us. We get to understand him more and we are able to mature in Christ. Glory to God. You don't find that kind of edification elsewhere. It's only in the study of God's word. So that is the most important part. My time of speaking to God cannot be as important as when God wants to speak to me. My time of singing unto God cannot be as important as when God wants to renew my mind with his word, with his truth. Glory to God. It's the most important part. And it's so sacred. We have to treat it with such honor and esteem. That should be the highlight of the meeting. That should be something you are looking forward to. But it won't happen this way until you see yourself as a student of God's word. Hallelujah.
That's the way I see myself. When I go to church, I see myself as a disciple, a student. I'm there to learn. I mean, why would you go to church without having your notepad, your writing material? Why would you go to church without even having a Bible? A lot of people stroll into church today, no Bible, no notepad, no writing material, nothing. They are not there to learn because church for them is not even an educational institution. But church is a place for spiritual literacy. Hallelujah. By the time you are taught and you receive the ministry of the word, you must have become spiritually literate. Certain things should not come out from your mouth again. Your perspective about God should have been straightened. You should have been opened up to the truth of God's word. You should have come to discern God rightly in Christ Jesus. Church is a place for spiritual literacy. Hallelujah. Where we produce spiritually literate men. Glory to God. You know, there's such a thing as being uninformed. Being an uninformed person. Paul mentions that in his writing to the Corinthians. Being uninformed means you are not well taught. You don't understand the doctrine. You are not even saved. Amen. It's just for unbelievers. You're not saved. You don't know what we are saying. You are a stranger to the faith and to the doctrine. So when a man receives the gospel, he has been informed. Hallelujah. And then he must keep being informed. He must continue in the teaching. He must grow to be spiritually literate as a person. Hallelujah. So church is a place of education. Only that this time around, it is spiritual education. Glory to God. Spiritual education. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles. In chapter 9. Now Paul spoke to... Now the Lord spoke to Paul. I was about to say Paul spoke to the Lord. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent. Look at the instruction. Don't be afraid. Speak and don't be silent. Keep talking. Hallelujah. Keep talking. Before Etis Alat came up with the slogan, you can keep talking. This is the instruction Jesus gave to Paul. Hallelujah. Don't be silent. Keep talking. Amen. For I'm with you and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. Keep talking. And look at Paul's response. Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. What was Paul doing in this particular city for a year and 6 months? He was teaching the word of God. Hallelujah. That is the most prominent activity. That is the most important aspect of discipleship. This is what Paul did in this place. For 1 year and 6 months. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles, chapter 20. Or let's see Acts of Apostles 19 first. Look at Ephesus. What do you think happened in Ephesus? Hallelujah. Oh God. Look at what happened in Ephesus. Before the manifestation of the power of God, manifestation of Spirit, in the which there were signs and wonders, Bible says God wrought unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. But before the unusual miracles, by the hands of Paul, what do you think Paul was doing in Ephesus? Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 19. Glory to God. And verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Hallelujah. For 2 years he was preaching and teaching. Verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disciples left them, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So there were unusual miracles in the environment of Paul's preaching and teaching for 2 years. Glory to God. Bible says in verse 20, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Teaching. Hallelujah. One of the major things that happened in the city of Ephesus was that men came out to confess that they were magicians. They had been in the occult. Amen. And they came out to confess their deeds. And they burned up their books. Glory to God. Such a great revival. That revival did not happen without the preaching and the teaching of God's word for 2 years. Glory to God. These days, people say, we need revival. Let's just camp ourselves in one room and begin to pray. And we're praying, God, send revival. God, send revival. You want to see revival? Get out there and preach the word of God. Hallelujah. Because this is how God causes revival in every place. The preaching of God's word. That's how we saw revival in the book of Acts. Everywhere, every city, it was by the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Because preaching and teaching is the most important element in discipleship. Glory to God. Acts 20:20. Look at what, okay, that sounds like this year. Acts 20:20. Praise God. Look at what Paul said to the elders that is summoned from Ephesus. Hallelujah. Acts 20:20. Glory to God. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I taught you publicly and from house to house. Hallelujah. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at this also at verse 27. Glory to God. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. Preaching and teaching. Very key. That is the most important element in the ministry, in discipleship. If we are not ready to teach, then we are not ready to make disciples, because making disciples is synonymous with teaching. Going to the world and teach all nations is also translated going to the world and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. A teaching church, sound doctrine, right now, not just any kind of teaching, a teaching church, a church given to teaching and sound doctrine is a healthy and sound local church. Anything short of this is not healthy for you as a Christian. Hallelujah. In my church, they don't really teach like that, you know. But you see, our pastor has other ways of, you know, just making church lively, you know. You don't want to bug people now. People have been stressed. They've gone out. They've, you know, gone to work. They're tired. When they come to church, let them just unwind. So, I mean, we have a lot of praise sessions. We have drama. We have choreography. You know, there's a way you can teach the truth through all those things. You know, people can actually learn the truth like that, you know. They can. Praise God. It's so funny. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In the Bible, according to scriptures, the way to teach men God's word is not by dramatizing anything. It's by teaching, verbal indoctrination. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm yet to see a drama or a movie where they start quoting scriptures and walking people through scriptures. Just imagine for a minute, if Jesus wanted to teach the disciples upon his resurrection, he wanted to teach them from the, through the prophets with drama. Imagine that. What opened their understanding was how he taught. He expounded to them in all the scriptures. We opened several verses and chapters. That doesn't happen in movies. That does not happen in drama. Praise God. That does not happen by choreography or dance. No. It's by teaching. That's what Jesus gave to us as the tool for discipleship. Teaching. And this teaching is verbal. Praise God. Verbal proclamation of the truth. And it is not meant to change in our own time. Yeah, the times have changed. We have other ways we can teach men. Listen, teaching is what Jesus handed to the church. Glory to God. Verbal indoctrination. Where men are following, looking through scriptures, comparing scriptures with scriptures, and, you know, till the truth is established. Amen. Until they are established in the faith. That is the tool. Glory to God. So, we ought not to ditch teaching and then be looking for substitutes. Something that is more entertaining. Do you know why people like it when it's more dramatized, when it's choreographed? All those things are entertainment. Hallelujah. They have a feeling of entertainment. That's the reason. It's simple. I can't learn really. I don't learn much when the pastor teaches. I learn more through drama. It's because the drama is entertaining. Hallelujah. The reason why you prefer choreography to the preaching and the study of God's word, rigorous, intensive teaching, is because you prefer entertainment. Hallelujah. You know, in school, you were not open to be taught through drama. Do you get what I'm saying? On campus, you don't go to class and be waiting for the lecturer to be staging drama for you in every class. You go there with your notes, writing materials. You go there with your textbooks. You want to receive information. You want to see examples, illustrations. You want to be given an assignment. That's how to learn. That's exactly how Jesus taught his disciples. That's exactly what he told them to go and do to all the nations. That's exactly what we are seeing through the ministry of the apostles. That's what they are doing. Praise God. Is it wrong to watch drama or watch movies? Let's not even go there. Praise God. Anytime, any day, if you want to watch movies in your house, I mean, it's cool. Amen. But the idea that the teaching ministry is meant to be something we have to use drama, entertainment, choreography to... No. It's not in scriptures. Hallelujah. It is not in scriptures. The ministry gives sent to equip the saints. None of them accommodates all these things. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. All these ministry offices do not accommodate all these side attractions. All these ministry gifts are carried out, or they carry out their functions through verbal indoctrination, teaching, proclamation. The prophet speaks. The evangelist speaks. The pastor speaks. The prophet speaks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's about teaching. It is when men are tired of the teaching ministry, they're going to look for substitutes. Glory to God. So the man does not, he finds it difficult to be awake for sermons. But the moment they say, today in church we're doing drama, we want to dramatize. Oh God, God's word in drama. The man is alive. Praise God. He suddenly comes alive. Amen. He invites his friends and relatives. They go to church together. Church is going to be tight today and so sweet. Hallelujah. We are pampering him in his lust. Glory to God. He can't be awake for teaching, but he can be awake for drama. He can be awake for choreography. You get up before they are done, he's already crying. He's so emotional. He's touching. Praise God. He's clapping. Woo, what a performance. It's so brilliant. But the moment we say, let's do 2 hours teaching, guys, he's struggling. He's not interested. He's struggling. His attention span is quarreling with Bible study. Glory to God. Those side attractions are unnecessary. Jesus gave us the ministry of preaching and teaching. Praise God. That is how Jesus matures men till date. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 28. Look at this. This is the last one we're going to see for today. Acts of Apostles 28. Glory to God. Acts 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Hallelujah. They were going to the Gentiles with the preaching of God's word. They will hear it. That's our mission, to go there to proclaim to them, and they receive. Look at verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, this is after he had summoned the chief rulers and the elders of Israel together to come, hear him out concerning his arrest and all, this problem he had gone through in the hands of the Jews. They had arrested him, and even right now he was in custody, only that they had given him opportunity to have his own rented apartment. So he summoned for the elders of the Jews, and he wanted to have a meeting with them so he can share the gospel with them. So they came out, they appointed a day, verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From morning till evening. Praise God. You see how the apostles were so passionate about teaching. You see how they were so serious about this task of teaching, because that's discipleship. Glory to God. There is no discipleship happening outside an environment of preaching and teaching on a regular basis. Hallelujah. Look at verse 30 to 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him.
He dwelt in his own rented house, and he was receiving men for 2 whole years, preaching and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and of Christ Jesus. The same thing. Praise God. Teaching. Hallelujah. So a sound and a healthy local church is that which is patterned after the ministry of Christ and his apostles. A sound and a healthy local church is that which is patterned after the ministry of Christ and his apostles. We must see an emphasis on teaching, because it is by teaching God makes disciples. It is by teaching Jesus makes disciples of men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is so important. And you must never get sentimental. You must never be emotional about this. You must never he's just criticizing other churches. Well, don't let's criticize pastors who don't really preach God's word. Can you even hear yourself? Praise God. Pastors who don't take their time to preach God's word. And you think this is about criticism? This is just about criticism? This is about your life. Hallelujah. This is about your life. Because if you do not make a choice of a sound and healthy local church where there's priority given to teaching and preaching, you will eventually not turn out to grow up to be all that God wants you to be now that you are saved. You will not walk in the fullness of what Christ has accomplished for you. Discipleship is what guarantees spiritual growth, is what guarantees effectiveness in ministry, is what guarantees, you know, being awesome and sound in the faith. Hallelujah. And the tool and the major and the most important thing in that discipleship is teaching. That is, you always be on that teaching. You'll be taught. Amen. It is by teaching you'll be brought to maturity. It's by teaching you'll be made an effective believer. Glory to God. So this is not about pastors. It's about your life. Hallelujah. You know, I used to tell people many times when I talk this way, I'm aware that people tune into this broadcast from different places. Some even listen from outside my own country. So don't assume the idea is trying to get people to attend my own local church. I'm not selling my local church to you as the only sound local church. Amen. But it's about, you know, making you understand what a local church is for, so you can make your choice. Hallelujah. So you will not be a victim of an unsound and unhealthy local church. You know what to look out for. That is the essence of this teaching. Glory to God. And I want you to prayerfully consider it. We're going to continue from here in the next episode. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of God's wisdom, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.